Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast. Content discussed on this podcast is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals. Now, let's start with the quote of the week.
Do not fall into the trap, the entitlement trap, of feeling like you're a victim. You are not. Get over it and get on with it. And yes, most things are more rewarding when you break a sweat to get them.
Good listeners, welcome to the podcast once again. It's Jazz here doing the opening today. David is missing. His internet is down. So it's John and Jazz, and we're going to be a little bit naughty because David normally keeps us in check, and we both get a little bit distracted with a lot of other stuff that's happening in the world. But before we jump into any kind of news, I've got John with me here. John, how are you?
Jazz, I'm really good. the leash is off, isn't it?
I get worried when David is not there. He's the one who keeps us in check always.
David's always patting his head, which is the Seinfeld clue for let's wrap that one up.
Well, we'll definitely miss him. His internet's down, but there's been a lot that's been happening this week, mate. You read the news, whether it's Twitter or AFR, and everywhere you see one name coming up, and that is GameStop. How it's for the first time retail investors have managed to crush down the hedge fund managers. What is your take on that, buddy? That's been the big piece of news. We'll touch into property later, but let's start with that.
Yeah, we could definitely fill the episode with GameStop. So let me quickly do my best to explain what's happened. And like, as I'm sure the listeners are aware, I'm not an equities guy. And this is pretty sort of sophisticated financial stuff, but I'll give it a go. And Jazz, jump in if I leave anything important out. So GameStop is a retailer in the US of games, like gaming. But it's sort of like the Blockbuster of games. It's a bricks and mortar shop. It's kind of past its day. It's kind of this bankruptcy kind of suspicions. And it's like it's an old bricks and mortar gaming retailer at the end of its life. And what happened was that a lot of large hedge funds had put sell orders, or what they call short covers. So they borrow shares and place a bet that the price is going to go down. So they're essentially sell orders of shares that they don't own, right? So the big hedge funds made a big bet that this was going to go down, and they took out a short cover. Now, meanwhile, while that was happening, a bunch of young millennial retail investors decided to play a prank on these guys, right? So Reddit is a online forum where people get together and discuss it. And within that Reddit forum is a Wall Street Bets, right? It's the name of the sub thread. And all these guys decided to get together and buy the stock so that the hedge funds would lose on their short selling. So they all got together and said, guys, buy and hold. And so they're putting these tweets out, buy and hold, hashtag buy and hold. And what they did is they took the share of this bumbling, crumbling, bricks and mortar retailer from $20, and it was about $6 a month ago, but they took it from about $20 2 weeks ago to about $500 the day before yesterday, right? So 1,500%. And what it meant was that these big Wall Street hedge funds with all the institutional money, they were left on the wrong side of these massive trades. And so what happened was these hedge funds had to go in, and to settle the short, they needed to buy the stock back. But they were buying the stock at $500 when they had a contract for buying it at $20. So they literally bankrupted a couple of hedge funds. The most important one was the one called Melvin Capital, mm-hmm. which had to raise $3 billion worth of funds to cover its losses. And so where this has all taken us to, this was a big prank, but it's kind of a big up yours to the Wall Street intermediaries. Mm-hmm. That they ganged up on them as real people power. So what's happened is, Robin Hood have banned the platform, they've banned the trading of GameStop and all this sort of stuff. But, and I'm going to throw it over to you now, Jazz, it's opened up all these possible future trades of all these other short positions of going on. I've heard that they're buying up things like BlackBerry and Nokia. Yeah. To you, mate. What's your take on it? Hopefully that was a good summation. You can add or subtract.
I think you summed it up pretty well. Before, it was hedge funds who used to play the game. This time, with the information age and the internet and all these forums available where you can go, and if you really want, you can challenge some of these big hedge funds. The big lesson or the big take out of that was basically we are more headed towards the decentralized world because these platforms are obviously controlled. They're centralized kind of thing. A decentralized platforms, which is the cryptocurrency, I think is the one that is really going to help with that. So which means a lot of these hedge funds, this is only just getting started. I think they are about to see what the power of the real retail investor is in the future. And hence, likes of cryptocurrencies, which we have discussed in the past, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and some of the other ones, the good ones, not the scams, are becoming so popular because it's all running on the decentralized platform and no one is able to shut it down. Whereas when you see things like these happening, they try and shut down the information channel, which is the first line of contact. So if you can shut down the communication, then you can control a lot of things. Whereas in this case, they did finally manage to get rid of that threat. I think what hedge funds used to do in the past, they used to play the same game, except that this time they were not able to, and the retail investors won, which is a great thing in my opinion.
So yeah.
It should be a level playing field, and so far it wasn't really a level playing field.
Yeah, that's right. The Wall Street is saying, wait on a minute, it's our job to manipulate the market, not your job.
Exactly.
It's interesting. I mean, the only one thing I quite like this kind of rabble of upstarts, you know, sticking it to the man and all those sort of stuff. I mean, I guess I don't like that they're being deliberately irrational, right? So this is that's what makes this so interesting. This is almost vindictive that they're buying a stock that against all the fundamental valuations. I mean, this stock should be $10 and they're bidding it up to $500 to spite the big Wall Street players. But that and your kind of point about decentralized finance does kind of raise, there's a bit of a political edge to this story, which is potentially interesting because, you know, the theme over the last couple of years has been insiders versus outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in politics, you know, the Trump thing. We've seen it with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is insiders versus outsiders. Mm-hmm. And this is the financialization of that sort of concept of insiders versus outsiders. You know, these are the Bitcoin guys. These are the Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. These are cynical, pissed off, educated young capitalists. Yep. With checks from the government, newly minted checks from the government, and Robinhood accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very interesting. And the other kind of interesting thing that ties into that is you mentioned that Reddit's being shut down. They said it was hate speech.
Mm-hmm. But
everyone knows it's not hate speech. Hate speech is a way of shutting people up and saying, oh, we don't approve of your speech. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to say it's our job to regulate this. I'm fine if this goes completely unregulated, but I hope it doesn't keep happening because then the market is unreadable and valuation becomes irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But the other, I want to get back to the silver thing, but
mm-hmm.
as well, because I think there are so many other short positions that are going to be exploited with this. I think silver is one of them, but let's go straight to that. I've lost my what do you see as the next big short? Because all these things are popping into my YouTube account saying, oh, it's silver.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in a sense a bit limiting. Like it could be anything.
Correct. It could be any other stock. We don't know. But what we can tell from the Fin tweet, it was all silver. Which one it's going to be, we don't know. But we do know that the gold and silver markets are very manipulated by the big hedge funds and the central banks. So it won't surprise me if This year, we see some surprises in that space. In fact, there was an article that I shared with you, John. The last all-time high that we saw in silver was, I think, in 2011, and that was about roughly $50 oddish, which equates to about $500 today, $500-$600 today. That tells you how controlled and manipulated these market is by the central banks to their favor. So it won't surprise me if part of the commodities were the next one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch silver, and it's obviously making some moves today, and we talk about silver every week. It's silver, and the commodity space in general is an extremely volatile part of the market, right? It's very cyclical, so it'll be sort of 10 years on, 10 years off, and we're just coming out of a 10 years off space in the general commodities market. That article you sent, I've seen similar things to it, which is where they say, look, if how many things in the world are less than half of their 1980 price? And you can't think of anything except silver. So silver got to $50 in 1980, and it's, what, $25 now or something like that. So, and then if you inflation adjust the $50 price for 42 years or 41 years, you get something like $600. And I think that's fair enough. I mean, it's... prices are complicated, but that's a reasonable price. What it doesn't take into account is whether there's surges in production and all that sort of stuff. So it's probably not that simple. The interesting thing about silver is that market is cornered by JP Morgan. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that they wouldn't want a short squeeze to impact the silver market because that could potentially take down JP Morgan. A similar thing happened in 2008 to Bear Stearns, and they were shorting the silver market as well. So this is way beyond my pay grade, but certainly JP Morgan would have an interest in what's happening in the silver market. I suspect they wouldn't want that price to skyrocket, but anything's possible, and commodities are very volatile. So by the way, listeners, this is not advice, and this is not even things that, you know, we're doing. It's just observations that we make, and these are pretty complicated things that certainly above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm. But just to add to that, John, I mean, obviously in the last year or so, there's been a lot of paychecks that have been issued by the politicians or the governments, especially in the US. And all that money, not all that money, but fair sum of that money feels like is going into the apps like Robinhood, which is day trading and all, which is what's causing these stock markets to be a lot more volatile than what you would normally. And we saw that with Hertz last year. This year, it's GameStop is another example. Tesla was another one. So when we see all of that, these are some of the features of basically hyperinflation. Right. And there was another article that I shared with you just on that. What are the things that you watch for when the money is dying?
From that famous book, When Money Dies, that was written about the Weimar hyperinflation. I think it was written in the 40s or 50s. I have read the book, but I read it about 6 years ago. So it's, you're absolutely right. When a nation debauches its money, its currency, I should say, when a nation debauches its currency through QE and artificially low interest rates, you remove a society's ability to be upwardly mobile. And that's because you can no longer save yourself rich. You can no longer save yourself rich. And in fact, you're punished for being prudent and careful. You're punished because if you're a saver, you're, as Robert Kiyosaki would say, savers are losers, right? So savings aren't worth anything. So when a nation debauches its money, weird things happen. There's an author who I won't name, but he sort of says that society goes bad when the economics goes bad. And that's why you see rioting and all that sort of stuff. And people think it's because of social issues. Maybe to some degree, but it's largely due to when the money goes bad. Mm-hmm. The way I look at this, broadly speaking, bringing it back to GameStop, is this is what happens when cynicism and resentment combines with QE and stimulus checks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then you weaponize the QE against the people who sort of are dishing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, rightly so. But if you've got that when money dies quote, I think it's quite timely.
You're talking about the one which is on the gambling on stock exchange, right?
Yes.
So what it says basically is gambling on the stock exchange had become the fashion. The only way to avoid losing all one's money and perhaps to add to it, many new bankers were given people's advice, the flight from the crown, governing all transactions. Is that the one that you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Do you want to explain, elaborate that a little bit?
So they're talking. So this is talking about 1921, 1922 Germany, right? And they're saying you have to speculate on the stock market if you want to save any money. And even though you know it's irrational, you keep speculating. And the only people making any money is speculating.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's what's starting to happen in our market. It's been, I guess, the case since 2008. But the problem is it changes the psyche of the citizens. It makes us very short-termist, very speculative, very distrustful. So that's kind of what he's saying is, you know, anyone who wants to preserve any capital has to be in the stock market. And, you know, a healthy society doesn't force their people to speculate.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, the civil war that we are seeing in the US and riots in some parts of Europe as well, all of that basically feeds into the same narrative, which is what happens when the money dies, which is what we are essentially discussing, right? So, and we said this in the last podcast and last year as well, we'll see a lot more volatility in the markets just because of some of these things that we have discussed. And GameStop became the very prominent example right at the start of the year. Along with that, we have discussed, John, about the real estate, how real estate can help you cover up in case of hyperinflation or inflation, how real estate can be one of the hedges against the inflation. And we have seen some good growth already at the start of the year. When I say growth, more how active the buyers are in the market and how the market's already turning into the favor of sellers. And we partly touched on that last week as well. You are, I know, very active in the market, hunting properties all the time. What's your take this week on what's happening in the market, property market?
Yeah, so this week was a little bit disjointed because of the public holiday on a Tuesday, and a lot of people went away. But I was certainly out on the pavement and seeing properties during the week. It's busy out there. There are high levels of inquiry. The last quarter, the interest was mainly around houses, but that FOMO has stretched into apartments and even inner ring apartments. I was in Newtown today, which is an inner city part of Sydney, and it's busy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I want to be careful to say boom. I think it's certainly a market that's going up.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, the prices, and it's January, so data's bad, but they're going up according to CoreLogic by about 0.1 to 0.2 of a percent per week, which means 0.8 of a percent or nearly a percent per month, which means we're on track to do about 10% this year.
Mm.
I mean, that's a lot. And that's, I think, what you'd expect in 2021, about 10% this year.
Mm-hmm. So that all goes back into the same narrative that we have discussed, which is these are all hedges against the inflation. Or if we were to see hyperinflation in a situation where money dies, which is US currency because losing its status as a global reserve currency.
So it's interesting we talk about one of the things that we talk about, we as in these sorts of podcasts, we talk about the death of the US dollar as the reserve currency. And I'm certainly in that camp, but we kind of precious metals, Bitcoin people do have one blind spot about that. And that is that the reserve currency is not about economics. It's not who's got the biggest economy. The reserve currency status is about power.
Mm-hmm.
And America's got the power. Mm-hmm. So even if it becomes the second biggest economy in the world by, let's say, 2025 or something like that, that doesn't really mean that it relinquishes its reserve currency status, because it does have all of the functional qualities of a superpower. It has the deepest debt markets. It's got the most expansive military. It's got, you know, the freest markets, all that sort of stuff. And no one can compete with the US on that basis. So I think that the world will de-dollarize, but
It is a bit of a blind spot for people who overstate the case for de-dollarization, because where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't re-liquefy the markets with Bitcoin, or you can't do it with gold. I mean, the benchmark asset in the globe is the 10-year US Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And gold can't do that.
Yeah. It's actually interesting that you mentioned 10-year Treasury bond. The yields on them have been dropping again. It looks like there's a possibility we'll see it under 1% this year, which is again all fuel to assets like gold, silver, and if you want to bet on cryptocurrencies, if that's more speculative bet, but very likely that they can win as well in this environment. So it all goes back to the same thing that we have been discussing over the last few months. But what happened this week, I think, really stemmed and made it very obvious with GameStop. The share price just going up ballistic by 1,500, whatever the percentage was. So it'll be interesting to watch the rest of the year. Anything else that we want to cover, John?
There's actually one just interesting thing I forgot to mention with GameStop, and that two things, actually. One is that I think Elon Musk piled in. This is right up his alley, isn't it? Like, this is the sort of thing he would like to get into. And I believe there was a tweet saying that he piled in, so that kind of adds a little bit of rock and roll to the story. The other thing is, one of the big beneficiaries, one of the biggest shareholders of GameStop was Michael Burry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael Burry was the Christian Bale character in The Big Short, mm-hmm. and that was his biggest holding. So he's come out and said that, you know, markets need to be regulated, but he would have been one of the biggest winners out of this, assuming he still held it this week. So super, super interesting. This was a really interesting chat, and the GameStop story is, I think it's got legs. I think there might be some collateral damage next week, and we can talk about that then.
Yeah. To the listeners, property, our passion is property, but this week we haven't discussed property a lot because there was a lot of other action, but not much has changed from last week to this week, except the demand is still going hot, so we'll see how the markets perform over the next few weeks, and we'll catch you guys next week on Friday. Till then, goodbye.